I want to share something I found on Facebook. Brenda, if you put that picture up there. Quote of the week, God is in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. Right? And this was late in the week, but boy, it fit where we're going, and particularly today with where we're going. By the way, in my youthful days, I was trying to be that, and my dad was already half dug with the hole. That's how he did things, and so we all wrestle with that kind of thing, and we're in a really tiny short series. It's last week and this week, and then next week we're going to start a five-week series that I'll tell you a little bit about before we leave today, but and it's called Abundantly Resourced. So sometimes you need a hole in the ground, and there's a way to get that hole. We all have needs, and we talked last week about that God was our loving supplier. He was the reliable supply that no matter what our needs, he's the one we can go to. We do that because he's overall, he loves completely, and he knows our desires, and he desires for us to have our needs met. The cool thing about how God does that is he doesn't always give us what we ask for, because sometimes that's not good. It's not healthy. Maybe it's a proportion problem. So this week, we looked at God as the source. Today we're talking about how to appropriate that source, predictable pathway. There's a way we approach this to the God who loves and wants us to have our needs met that bring us into that stream of provision. Let's put it that way. And we're going to use the same passage of Scripture to kick us off as we did last week, and it is the expectation we have of abundance that Paul, the apostle, from prison wrote to the Philippian church and to us. So chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, at the moment I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. And that's our expectation right there. So we already talked about where we're going to get that, and the God who loves us so much, not only does he give us these daily needs, but he has supplied the greatest need of us all, and that is to be reconnected with him through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, so we don't have to pay the penalty for our sins, and we can just come and say, yes, Lord, I received this gift, and now I get to be connected with. We don't do it to get connected to the supplier. We get it to get connected with the one who made us and loves us. So the number one thing we need to do is to define our need. We ended up on that last week, and those of you who were with us, I encouraged you. You might use a different word, but I'll use encouraged. I encouraged you to think about this over a week and say, what then are my needs? Maybe even boil it down to a need, but that's not necessary. It's that process we need to start being involved in figuring out what is a need in my life. So the word need used here is required. That means you can't do without it. We're watching TV, I'm sure this bugs Diana, but she doesn't say anything anymore. Somebody says, I can't wait to see you, and I go, yes, you can. And we're watching a medical show now, so the patient's going, I can't breathe. I said, well, if you can't breathe, you wouldn't be able to say I can't breathe. You're breathing right now. So what does this mean, required? So that's kind of a sliding scale, or sometimes it's based on our circumstances. And the joy of talking about this is not that there's this one thing and you can only ask this one need and it's got to be a critical requirement or God's not going to listen to you and somehow you're less than. It's not that. It is through this process that we begin to learn how to filter those things. So rather than tell you exactly how, it is this beginning process. I told you the story last week of the failure of the car and all these things that fell apart in my world. Not really fell apart, but, caused me some trouble. And the last thing was I needed a compressor, if you were here. They're not cheap. It's a 30-gallon compressor. It pumps to 175 PSI. It runs all the tools I have at home to work on my car. Now, there is a time in my life where I could look at that and say, I don't need that. And there's a time in my life where, in order for us to afford in our the budget that we've made to live, we've never had a car payment. I had a car payment once for about 4 years. And I fix all my stuff. I've had to pay for one repair once. So I used to be Mr. Goodwrench for 6 years. So those of you who think I just dived in and did it myself, you can do that thanks to YouTube. You can watch a video and do whatever. If you've got the courage, it takes some courage to just dive in. But so in order to maintain the budget, I did need that. And because of his provision, I gave a loan to myself from another fund that I will pay back interest-free because I'm good to myself. But that was a need. A compressor might not be your need. If a microwave goes out, in some homes, that's a need. In some homes, it's like, well, we can cook on the stove and stuff like that. So I just want to paint the idea that this is not legalism. He helps you. God helps you figure out what your needs are. And so I included in here a couple verses, well, a verse and a half actually from Proverbs that help us in the filtering process that has great value. I've often thought about preaching through the book of Proverbs because, like, it's so plain. So you want to be a fool, this is how you're going to go. If you don't want to be a fool, this is how you're going to go. That's some value there. I've never done that. I might. We don't know. But from that compendium of knowledge and wisdom is this from Proverbs 30, the last half of verse 8 and verse 9. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs, for if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. So that's some wisdom in there, Proverbs, when you're talking about what is a real need and what is just something I really want. Some of them are apparent and some of them are not. But the whole of the Old Testament, actually from the book of Exodus all the way through, it's a story of people who got so much good from the Lord that they forgot that they still really needed him. And that happens, human nature, that happens. And we want what we need, so we don't try to take it into our own hands. That other side, I'm too poor. I didn't get my needs. God wants to supply our needs. So use that as you kind of filter those things in your life. Define your need. I'm going to say more about this later, right? Sometimes I get ahead of myself. Number two, take it to God. This is really simple, right? You need a degree. You need a PhD to figure this out. Define your need and take it to God. No, you don't. This is really simple. But let's agree that it's not always easy. God simplifies things. We complicate things. Take it to God. So I'm going to read now a story in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is actually in the Sermon on the Mount. This great, we did a long series on that a couple of years ago here. And that great teaching at the beginning of his ministry as Matthew recorded it, and as the Holy Spirit moved him to write it. And different topics were covered, and this topic actually was one of prayer, but sometimes we change prayer into something more complicated than it is. So we're going to look at this less complicated view of this. So number two is take it to God. So Matthew begins by saying, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. That's a promise. That's a promise. It's a simple approach. It's about coming before God with the need that you have defined. And sometimes we kind of pour out a whole bunch of needs. I do that in the morning prayer time, perhaps, and sometimes there are those specific needs where you're just praying about this one thing or these three things, and you know they're out there, and there's something you need to do about it, and you need help. So I've given you three words that start with P that might help continue in the process of coming before God with these things. The first A is parlay. It means to discuss with someone. Now, there's a different spelling of this word that means make a bet. That's not what we're talking about. You don't go to God and make a bet. This is parley. If you are a Pirates of the Caribbean fan, you heard this word. Pirates use it all the time. We're going to parley. We're going to enter into a discussion. I'm going to come and talk about that with somebody. By the way, do you know that International Talk Like a Pirate Day is on the 19th of September? Did you know that? Okay, you need to put that on your calendar. If you're a Facebooker, you can actually change the language on your Facebook for that day to pirate English. It's awesome. So the pirates give us something. They were bad people. We like to look on the good side of things. They gave us this term parley. And it is coming on purpose to have a meeting of the minds and to share information. And we know that God is on his side wanting it dearly, dearly for his people to come to him with all the baggage. Not making it have to sound a perfect way and perfectly, like when I say define your need, it doesn't have to be perfectly defined. It's just as you understand it, you come to him with it. Lord, I have a need. Remember, he knows you have this need already. We talked about that this week. But he's just waiting for that breakdown of a barrier because it's family. It's the father wanting to hear his child come freely and ask, Dad, this is what I see that I need. This is what I think that I need. Parley is the first one. Second one is pursue. That means you track it down. So the New Living Translation, which is what I have used and am using mostly this year, puts that in the language. If you read this in the new International Version, it'll say, ask and you will receive. But the translators of the New Living Translation include the sense that this is spoken. Keep on asking, and you will receive. That's the pursuit. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. It's pursue. It's track it down. It's seek. It means I'm moving toward it. If my picture was up there, it would be the guy not just standing there with the shovel. It's doing something. We're going to talk about a little bit how to identify some of the things you can do. And then the last is persist. You don't just open the discussion and do something once. You keep coming back. And there's a tension in this. And so let's just talk about the tension. We're not supposed to keep babbling on like idiots. Jesus was pretty clear about that. Don't repeat everything in some, like nonsensical. And if you just keep doing it over and over again just to see how many times you could do it and thinking somehow that gets God's attention. It doesn't get God's attention. You already have his attention. He loves you and he knows what you need. And I can't answer why it takes, how long it takes, the times it takes, a long time. I just can't answer that because I ask those questions too. Now would be nice. I say those things out loud. Some of you may say them in your head or some of you may not say them, but I say them out loud. Now would be nice. So I don't know that, but I know this, that Jesus himself is speaking these words to us, that when we have a need, we can come and talk to our friendly family father. It's positive. It's not authoritarian. It's not negative. It's all positive. And if we parley, pursue, and persist, we take it to him. We're starting to do our part. So what about who it is we're taking these things too. So Jesus goes on to say in Matthew chapter 7, describes who it is, God the Father, who we're talking to about these things, who we're going to, who we're persisting with and seeking with in verses 9 through 11. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And so this is, if this is a standalone, it's not as understandable as already going through what Jesus started to preach in Matthew chapter 5 and then into chapter 6 and here in chapter 7. He's talked a lot about who God is all along. So when he gets to this place and his hearers hear this call of, you think you're a good gift giver, but contrast yourself to the God I've been telling you about, my Father and your Father, and he's perfect and holy. He's even better than you are, and he wants to give you what you ask for. Now, I know there are some of you who might give your kid a plastic snake to scare him when he asks for something else. So you're going to have to wrestle through that yourself and see where those lines are. And I'm not sure if this belongs here, this next verse. I was going to move it this morning, but all the handouts are printed, so we'll insert it in here, and it will carry through the rest of that with us. And this is Psalm 37:4, because we're talking about needs, but we started out by saying we are given an expectation of abundance. Need means what's required, but abundance means more than is required. And the sense that it's always used in the Gospels, in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament as well, is not just a little more than you need. It's always like way more than you need. Like the famous tithing, Malachi 3:10, bring the tenth in, and you'll have so much pouring out, you don't know what to do with it. That's the sense we have. So it's not just about, okay, I got to, you know, figure out how to pry my need out of God by doing the right things. This verse has something to say. I pray this a lot for people in struggle, and I pray this verse a lot for me, and it's Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. So this is different. We're already talking about not two different things, but an extension from the very basics we need to do whatever it is, whether it's live and breathe, whether it's eat and all that, survival, or whatever it is in our relationships, whatever it is to be a good employee or an employer or whatever else we have that is a need. And this concept of desires of your heart. So shortly before Christmas, I was surfing through in the Musician's Friend catalog. I'm a bass player. I'm not a bassist, because that implies some level of skill. I'm a bass player. And so it's good to see Bruce. That was the second time he's played with our band. I played with this band for about a year in my second year here. And I saw a double bass. If you don't know what that is, that's the upright kind. I want one like a boss. I want to play in a jazz quintet and to play along with my Tony Bennett CDs. He's probably my favorite artist of that genre. My mom's was Frank Sinatra, Old Blue Eyes. Mine's Tony Bennett. And I saw one on sale. It was on sale for $1,500. And Diana can tell you how, like, I had it in my cart. I'm going, okay, they got the two-year, they got the two-year payment plan. And I've got this, my wages and my budget, and I have this over here that's coming in from CSL Plasma, and I can figure this out, and I'll have a bass, and I'll have it in 3 days. And I can start practicing it. And she was going, are you sure you want to do that? And it's good she didn't say, no, you can't do that. Don't ever do that. To say, are you sure? And so here I was getting my desires mixed up with my needs. And finally the Lord prevailed and said, don't be stupid. And I took it out of my cart, because sometimes like a button could be hit and you wouldn't know, and this big thing would show up on my doorstep. If God wants me to have that, he'll supply it at some point. He knows whether I'd really practice. You know what I really want? I want to be able to play the piano like Karen without ever practicing. That's what I want. So, well, that's the trouble. But it says, take delight in the Lord. So the focus isn't the desire. The focus is the delight in the Lord. Delight means, it's a verb, by the way. A delight is something that's delightful, but to delight is a verb. Same word, different use. It means to take pleasure in, to find enjoyment. It means to actively seek satisfaction and joy in God himself. And I have, one of the resources I use in study is an interlinear Hebrew and Greek Bible. And so there's two ways to translate, basically. There's more ways, but two basic ways. It is word for word or thought for thought. And an interlinear one that I use is a word for word. And sometimes that just gives you a stunning clarity. And it's one of those where I found a stunning clarity in the Hebrew, where this verse is, take delight in the Lord, word for word. Whoever did the interpretation said, enjoy deliciousness of Yahweh. Yahweh is a word for God, if you don't know that. one that is oft repeated in the Old Testament in the original Hebrew language. Enjoy the deliciousness of God. Now that's different, right? When something's delicious, if you're a regular, you know what makes my mouth water. It comes in a bucket. Just thinking about it right now, my mouth starts watering. It's delicious. It's engaging all my senses. Look at what the psalmist is telling us to do. Even while we're wrestling with this need I have, like the need to wrestle with grief that our Tobit's family has, at the same time we're defining and asking for needs, we look to God and see the deliciousness of Him in our lives. And if you have a struggle finding anything delicious about the leadership and presence of the Lord, man, I want to talk and pray with you after the service. It is a process we need to learn how to do, because life can just press you down. But again, we go back to our parlay, pursue, and persist. Apply it to this finding His deliciousness in your life and what He's done. And then not only will needs come, but desires will flow. Okay, define your need, take it to God. The third thing is this, evaluate available resources. Your resources. This is the shovel part of that guy leaning on the shovel. So now we shift our gears into Matthew chapter 14. It is an instance of abundance. And so we can find principles that help us when we're coming for a need and looking toward abundance, which is actually where we're going next, or the next one after next. So, verses 15 through 17, that evening the disciples came to Him, that's Jesus, and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. You've been a church person, you're familiar with this story and another one like it. I'm going to refer to that in a minute. We identified that the need was real. These people had followed Jesus. It was all day. There was no refrigerator. There was no food truck that would pull up and sell them a taco. There was nothing and nowhere. And they were hungry. I don't know how prevalent diabetes was back in those days, but something like that means you got to eat regularly or you could get faint and you could go into a real bad physical place. I'm sure that was a possibility in some ways. This was a real need. These people need to eat. And they came to Jesus. The parlay, the pursue and persist, well, maybe not the pursue and persist part, but they came to Him. "Hey, here's the need. The people are hungry. What are we going to do?" And Jesus didn't just pour out food on these people. He said, "Well, what do you have? What can you contribute to this? You need a hole? You got a shovel? What is your contribution?" There is a principle here, folks, that we play a part in God providing for our needs. It's not always a direct relationship to the need. That takes the pressure off, because we can easily get into this trap where we go, "Well, you didn't have enough faith," or, you know, that kind of legalism and stuff. That's not true. We honestly come to Him, but He honestly asks, as He did them, "Well, you feed them." And they identified what they had, not what they didn't have. "We don't have chicken in a bucket. No hot dogs in sight." I'd have been in trouble. I'm not a real big fish eater, but I probably would have had some bread anyway. So they did. We need to evaluate in connection with the need you have. Well, what is it that I could contribute, or what could I get out of the way of the need meeting? Oftentimes, a need we feel is based on our perception of the immediacy of the need that might not be true, where we've been in the past and how things have worked out. It can be so many different things. But as we evaluate our own resources, we go, "Lord, I need this. Lord, what is my contribution?" And He will help you identify that. And then number 4, step out in faith. So we go on into the story here. Jesus asked them, "What do you guys got?" "Well, you got fish and 5 loaves, 2 fish." Bring them here, Jesus said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. So there's two things that happen. There is a step out action and there is a faith going on here. So Jesus didn't say, this is what I'm going to do. I can't imagine. We still don't know exactly how that happened. But they brought him the fish. It could easily be they were trying to figure out, well, how many people, if we cut it real small, maybe 100 of us could have something to eat. Sorry, you guys, you're on your own. And that's the human condition if we're left untouched by the Lord, by the way. But they didn't. They gave it up. They stepped out. They took the action. They gave what they could. And sometimes we come that way, and God asks something of us in relationship to how our need will be met. And we thought, well, but I need more than I have. And you're asking me to give up already what I have? Well, God knows what he's doing. Believe me, he knows what he's doing. And they did it in faith, knowing that he was going to do something. And so I just stuck Hebrews 11:6 in here because it's a good reminder, and it's another shade of meaning to put on how God meets our need. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. A reward, or you get something by your coming to him. It's not a reward though we've earned. It's something we get in line for, in the line he has established already. You could say the reward was the need. And isn't it interesting, because of these words, we know we can please God. And we think we can't, because we're always imperfect. But when we have faith in him, that's pleasing to him. That's awesome. So we define our need, we take it to God, we step out in faith. Number 5, we watch for abundance. And the end of the story, many of you know it. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. We're probably talking 15 or 20,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not the only example. I have a few I just want to refer to. This abundance is all throughout the Bible. Manna from heaven. So this whole tribe of 1 million Israelites were wandering around in a desert with nothing to eat, and God gave them flakes that formed in the morning that they could gather and pound up and make into a flour and make bread from, and it tasted like there was honey in it. They had to go out and get it, though. That was their contribution. They had a need, and they were crying out, and like, they were as dumb as we get. Yeah, whiner, whiner, call the whambulance, because everything was wrong with them. But God gave them abundance when he called them to go out and gather, and they went out and gathered. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a widow who had just enough oil to mix to make one more cake, and she and her son would eat it, and then they'd die because they'd starve to death. And they asked the prophet, or the prophet came along and found their dilemma and prayed to God, and he instructed them to bring as many jars as they had. And she could look in the jug and see there was only a skim of oil, olive oil, not motor oil, at the bottom. And she kept pouring and pouring and pouring till every one of those jars were filled. And it says she had enough to feed herself, pay her debts, and live on. That's abundance. What did she have to do? She had to gather the jars. She had to start pouring. She had to do something. That was her contribution, her son's contribution. In Luke chapter 5, we have another, the first of two occurrences of this. This is before the disciples followed Jesus, and Jesus saw them. They had come in from a long night fishing, and they catch nothing. He said, well, go out and put in water, and they whined a little bit, but they went out anyway and did that. And this is before they were full followers of Jesus, and the catch was so miraculous, the net started to break, and they couldn't bring the net on shore. They had to drag it to shore with the boat. So many fish. In John chapter 2, and it was at a wedding party. and there wasn't enough wine. And Jesus turned water to wine, and he turned it not only into wine expected from guests at a wedding in that culture, but the best, which was never served last when people couldn't appreciate it. And they had to go and get the containers. Okay, so just a word, because of the culture we live in. We are against drunkenness and the abuse of alcohol in the Free Methodist Church. We used to prohibit, those of you who just went through membership class, if you touched a drop of alcohol, you couldn't be a member. But that's kind of weird when Jesus drank wine that you would have that kind of requirement. So I just wanted to say that. We don't encourage the abuse of alcohol, but this happened. In Matthew chapter 15, so here in Matthew chapter, what are we in, 14, where he feeds the 5,000? Yes, in the very next chapter, Matthew 15, he feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves, a few fish, unnumbered, and he had 7 baskets left over, again in abundance. And in John 21, this is at the end, post-resurrection, Jesus was appearing after his resurrection here and there into different groups of people, and he met his followers, his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they had been fishing again at night. Interesting that Jesus brought this full circle from this first abundance he did before they followed him to the last, and they went out, and there was another abundant catch of fish. God answers abundantly. Expect abundantly. The problem is when we set our sights on this thing equals abundance and this thing doesn't, instead of saying, show me the abundance you have for me. It's part of the faith of God doing what he, it's part of the taking the delight in God so that we can get the desires of our heart. And number 6, prepare for transformation. Because he doesn't just do this so the hungry are fed. He doesn't just do this so that the naked can wear clothes and people who need homes have a place to live and people who need to make money can do that and have a job. He does this to change us. From Philippians chapter 4 back to this prison letter from where we took our opening scripture, the 18th and through the 20th verses of that chapter. Here is the 10th through the 13th. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. How many of you have quoted that last verse, verse 13, and thought it was in a passage about great deep spirituality instead of about the material needs of this world and their absence or their presence, their abundance or their lack, and Paul saying, here I am in a prison. One of his most powerful letters is the book of Philippians, because the theme is joy all throughout, and yet here he was confined, aging. Here's the truth about our involvement in this predictable pathway to being abundantly resourced through the God who is able and loving, is that we, while we start with a panoply, many needs, the things we would identify with needs, as he proves himself to us, and it's not a matter of we make him, it's we follow his call and he shows us that what he says is real. That's what that means by proving him. We begin to set aside the needs of life. We begin to pare them down so that the things we feel like we really need to ask and need become fewer and more significant in our world, but we have the same promise that he is going to fulfill those needs and that abundantly. And so I think maybe in largest part, our ability to tell other people about the goodness of God increases because we become less reliant on things we say, but I have to have this. And we find, you know what we have to have? You know who we have to have? Jesus. What do I need? There's a line at the bottom. This is some beautiful stuff as he invites us to come with him, come to him, and bring our needs and be open to transformation. The very act of evaluating your resources begins to open you up. The very act of coming to him with what you perceive as needs, however, some more seasoned follower might look at you and go, oh, come on. It's the process that he uses to help us pare down our needs. And we say, only Jesus. Only Jesus, that's what I need, and he'll supply everything. So pray for that thing you need. Enlist a prayer partner. We don't have to understand all of this, because that's a good thing, right? Because we can't understand the depths of any one issue, but we can understand this, that we have a loving God who wants to supply your need and bring you into reliance upon him and an abundance. And so here's what the abundance does. It overflows on other people. The overflow is not for us, though we are certainly affected by it. The overflow is on other people, and that's our mission here. So what does this have to do with the green cards you find in your bulletin, you may ask? Well, we have started this capital improvement pledge drive, and it is based on needs we see in our physical plant in the church. So this was the actual seed idea for this short two-week series, is how we approach this subject. And so this is the way Pastor Mike and I think the finance team to some degree have been involved in this as well, to try to replace some things that need to be replaced. I don't know if you noticed, if you're not a regular, our soffit and fascia is done and paid for. Praise the Lord, that was not a budgeted item, but somehow the Lord provided enough of abundance. And so we've asked for a certain goal. And if you look at, this is a two-sided card. The first side is your information, so we know who you are. You can remain anonymous, but I really wish you wouldn't. Nobody's going to dog you, by the way. This is something between you and God, but we want to be involved in a certain way. But at the bottom of the back of the card is a reminder of why we're doing this. It is a $20,400, a two-year goal. We are going to replace the tattered platform curtain that you only see a little bit of. This carpet, which is in sore need. There's one of the lines. I could pick this line right up off the floor and show you. You don't want anybody to trip on that. Things are getting a little thin. And the chairs you sit in. Mark and Mike Bemis have been working on trying to straighten some of them so they're easier to stack, but they're weary and worn, and they've been recovered at least one other time besides when they were purchased. And anything over this $20,400 goal will be put toward paving our parking lot, which is at least $250,000. The projection is to address this in 6 years. I'd like to see that before then. But this is up to God, and I feel the abundance in this. So this is how you can, by the way, Brenda, can you put up the first slide with the, I was going to put that in your bulletin, I told you last week, but I didn't have room. If you look at your handout, there was no room in there. So this was just a chart that helps see how this could be divided, 50 families with a total pledge of 408. You can follow that, like, you guys are smart. Just a way to look at that. So then how do I want to give? So here's on the back side is how you can break that down to, I'm going to make a one-time contribution of whatever that would be, or multiple for the next 2 years, if you're going to go more, but we're doing a two-year campaign. I downloaded this form. So I'm going to do it weekly, I'm going to do it monthly, I'm going to do it quarterly, once a year or other. And this is for you to pray over and to fill out. And there's two in each because I want you to keep one and I want you to turn one in with the same information. So at the end of the meal, we took our oldest son and our granddaughter out to a meal up at the Lumberjack restaurant in West Branch, and when they came and brought me the bill, they brought me a merchant copy and my copy. So I could write in the tip, And I could write in a tip on mine because I always forget how much I tipped. And the bank sometimes takes a couple days. And I like to do my accounting like right now as soon as I get home. This is the same deal. We want you to remember a pledge you're making. And we want to be able to come back and say, this is how much has been pledged in this two-year campaign. That's why we would like you to fill in one copy, turn it in, fill in one copy, and save it. I would love to offer a way to track that for you. I didn't want to lay that on Tim or Treasurer's. So we'll figure it out. You track it yourself. I can actually format an Excel spreadsheet. If you're an Excel person, I can email it to you. So you put in a number, and it'll subtract from the total that you pledged if you want to do that, and you put in the numbers. Let me know. You'll have to just let me know that somehow. This is the same thing. We're asking, identifying needs. We're asking and going to God. We're going to step out in faith, and we're going to expect an abundance. And I fully expect we're going to way surpass this goal. This seems so small to me. I don't know why. I've not done a bunch of pledge campaigns, two of them before, I think, in my life. So please consider this, and there's going to be a stack of these out there. Diana said, did you make these green because it stands for money? No, I didn't. I didn't even think about that. What I thought is our prayer cards are yellow, our connect cards are white. I wanted a distinct card, and this is the only card stock we had left in the house was green. That's kind of good, as long as you don't think we're out here grubbing for money, because we are not. This is between you and God as a part of a family here, Linden Free Methodist Church, whether you're a member family or attendee family or just stopping by and the Lord says, you know what, I think I'd like you to be a part of that. Doesn't matter. Be in prayer about that, but that's not the most important thing about today, and I just want to circle back around. The biggest need anyone has is the need for Jesus Christ to be the one who leads you in your life. That's what when we say accept Jesus as your Savior, that's what we mean, or at least that's the way I would put it. You come to the point where you realize no matter what you have and resources you have, you can't give yourself what you need, and that is a relationship with our Creator. Jesus did that, and it's by saying yes to Him that this whole process gets started. If anyone hasn't done that, do that. And look at your own needs and follow this process and see the abundance and see yourself grow. Let's stand. We'll dismiss in prayer. And praise team, come up. We'll sing the doxology. One for yourself, one here. We'll give you a few weeks to, you know, before we start announcing totals, because you need to think and pray about that. Lord, thank you for the goodness of your provision. No strings attached. I mean, we just don't encounter that in this world. There's a contract to sign, there's fine print, there's repossession, there's all these things in our world of so-called providence. Not only that, what we are provided by the world breaks down, wears out, or is not enough. But we know, whether we know it fully by practice or are only starting here in the truth written about you that we can know, that you love us and want us to have every need, and you want us to have a bunch of desires fulfilled, but you want to make sure we're not going to use those for selfish gain or for harm to ourselves or others. And so you lead us into this process to be able to identify things and bring them to you and be persistent and to be a part and not just lay back and think that you will happen to us. We're in a relationship. That's what you created us for. That's why we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, to be in relationship. So help us, Lord, to be in this relationship in this way. And Lord, anyone who has not crossed into allowing you to lead them, surrendering their lives in that way, I pray, Lord, they would just take a deep breath, realizing all the questions cannot be answered, but the truth is they need you, and you have supplied everything they need to be in relationship. That they would cross over and become a part of this or another church family so we can grow together the way you intended. Lord, as we get ready to be released, fill us with your Spirit and help us to, you know, run out of these front doors excited that we live in a world where our needs are cared for and abundance happens, and we have the ability to share hope with those around us in this dark place. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.